Welcome back. You're listening to Strategies for Success, the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. I'm your host, Bonnie Dubrow. Today I'm talking with Speed Ream. Speed is a software engineer, a practitioner of shamanism and yoga. He's woven yoga and shamanism into something he's calling the Way of the Yearning Heart. Welcome back, Speed.
Thanks, Bonnie.
The Way of the Yearning Heart. Tell me what that means.
Well, there's a lot of different ways of approaching it, but the outside way, the way that's visible from the outside, is someone walking in hipness. H-I-P-P. So the shaman who is hip is practicing honesty, integrity, patience, and peace.
I like that.
So the hip shaman are one that is practicing being hip is also doing about half of the way of the yearning heart. The honesty and integrity of the shaman are on the inside. Am I honest with you, Bonnie? No, that's not what I mean. Am I in integration with you? No, that's not what I mean. Am I honest with myself? That's what I mean. If I'm a shaman and trying to be honest, whose promises am I keeping? I'm not talking about the promises I might keep to you. I'm saying, what promises do I keep to myself?
Wow.
So if I can keep my own promises to myself, and one of the huge, huge things that for someone on this path is to start becoming aware of what promises we make. And I can remember once Yogi Desai talking about how he approached a dinner one day, how someone who was somewhat overweight approached dinner. And on the way into the restaurant, they go, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to overeat tonight. I'm not going to have any ice cream. I'm just going to have salad, and everything is going to be wonderful. And they sit down and start eating, and all of a sudden the wonderful smells from the rolls start wafting up, and the person who just promised not to have any rolls says, well, you know what? One roll can't hurt, could it? And by the time the dinner is over, that person has probably broken 50 to 60 to 70 promises without probably being aware of it. This is a tremendous drain of energy, and this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about when I say the shaman being honest, keeping promises to his own self.
You're using, by the way, I love the hip shaman. Did you come up with that?
Yes, I did.
I really like that. What does that stand for again? Honesty, integrity, patience, and peace.
Correct.
And the first two, honesty and integrity, have to do with my relationship with myself. Every time you said that, you said the word shaman in conjunction with that. Can anybody practice honesty and integrity? Can we say that I can be a hip person without being a shaman? Can I not even practice or know anything about shamanism and still be hip? Because I really like those four words, honesty, integrity, patience, and peace, those are actually some of my core basic values. But other than talking to you and having you share some things in our you know, lives outside of this radio show, I don't consider myself a shaman. Can I still be hip? I want to be hip.
Well, you tell me, and by the way, why not?
Why not what?
Why not you be able to practice being hip and not worry about whether you're a shaman or not? It's totally besides the point. If you like that concept, and if you, the second part of the concept is honesty and integrity are in the inside. Patience and peace is what does my earth walk deliver on the outside? And it just turns out the more honest and integrated I am on the inside, the more automatically my earth walk delivers patience and peace on the outside. If you choose not to be a shaman and walk that path, that's wonderful.
Now, you're using the phrase earth walk. I have a feeling there are some listeners that are hearing that And not really knowing exactly what you mean by that.
If an earth walk is simply, how do I appear in public, not private? Number one, what really distinguishes an earth walk between just showing up is, what is my intention? Am I showing up with an intention at all? Or am I just going to church to listen to the songs? But if I
Wait a minute, I go to church and that's part of why. Can't that be my intention?
Yes.
So then clarify what you mean by intention.
I was just going to try to do that.
Oh, thank you.
If I walk in the door and want to listen to music and I say just want to, there's nothing wrong with that. And that can be an earth walk. But as soon as one takes on the mantle of the shaman, one of the responsibilities is that my presence matters to someone outside of me. So if I walk into church and listen to the music, my commitment to myself, my promise to myself is, if I say even nothing, if I do not say a single word, somehow my presence will help somebody else in the room. If I can practice honesty and integrity in myself, and if I show up with the intention of delivering patience and peace, that's the difference between an earth walk and just showing up. There's nothing wrong with just showing up. And many times I just show up. You don't just put on the shaman's hat and then all of a sudden you're a shaman. It takes a lot of extra energy to decide.
And that's why you do the yoga, is to fuel the tank so that you have the energy, and the word awareness comes in. I can show up. You know, sometimes we use the word showing up and people mean that you are really present. So what you're talking about, it sounds like, is when I'm unconscious, I break promises to myself, I'm out of integrity, and I reflect that in the way that I show up when I go out in the world. I'm impatient and I'm in conflict. And if I'm in that place within myself, I show up, I bring that vibration with me, and that's how my vibration touches others. Now, coming back full circle, the reason I do yoga is to practice self-acceptance, to practice on the mat being loving and gentle, being conscious in this moment of where that edge is, where I'm comfortable, where I'm pushing and exerting, so that I can practice peace on the mat. I can fuel up my energy tank so that I have that extra energy to take off the mat and bring to how I show up to do my earth walk. Is that kind of tying the two together the way you mean when you say the way of the yearning heart?
Yeah, it's a very good job you just did of tying them together. I would say that I would not describe my yogic experience the way you do, but it's fine. No two people have to have anything like the same type of yoga to have put energy, gas in the tank, as you put it. The three parts of the yearning heart are the yoga, the shamanism, and the final part of the yearning heart is just exactly what I'm saying, the yearning heart. That if I choose a desire in my life that doesn't come from the inside, that doesn't engage my heart, if I am not yearning for a reflowering of the planet Earth, this is not powerful. So the yearning heart is a self-revelation, where one becomes more and more aware in the present moment of, what do I want anyway? In the final analysis, why do I want a reflowering of the Earth? I'm not going to go into my personal answer to that. But those three parts together then, energy from yoga, purpose, and earth walk from shamanism, and then finally the self validation and the self living one's a life worth living. The purpose behind all the first two is to have a life worth living, and the worth living is a becomingness. It's not simply a beingness. It's, who am I becoming tomorrow? What will I become? So I'm going back and forth between the beingness of the shaman and the becomingness of dreaming something that doesn't exist now into existence. That's a three-part series to the way of the yearning heart.
So the image for me is a braid, that the three create a fabric that's stronger and more powerful than any one or two might be, that the qualities that each of them bring, the passion, the aliveness of the heart, the love, where does love fit in? I mean, you're using the word heart and passion, but is love part of this? And if so, what do you mean?
Not the way many people say love. In other words, love is not something I give to anybody else. In this philosophy, this is just a teaching model. This is not to make anybody else's understanding of the word love wrong. I'm just saying the way I'm using the word in this particular way is, do I love what I'm doing right now?
Mm. So love is a verb for you.
And it's entirely personal. So there's no concept in the shamanic, in this shamanic tradition, that I'm loving you and then my love touches your universe. Mm-hmm. No concept of that. The concept is, am I in love with what I am doing? Can my earthwalk be so still and proper and personally powerful that it allows you to feel your own love without me touching your space at all? So it's a way of, the healing part of this is that if someone comes in the presence of someone else that has no resistance against who they really are, zero resistance, let's just say I had risen to that spot where I could be in your presence without any resistance at all, you would feel this incredible emptiness that felt to you like joy. Because most human beings, when they come into each other's presence, feel the resistance of the other person. And that feels like being in the presence of a normal human being.
Mm-hmm.
You come into the presence of someone that is not resisting you whatsoever, and it feels like you're in the presence of someone that's showering them with love.
Mm-hmm.
Person is not doing that at all, but that's how you perceive it, because you're so used to being in the presence of humans that are constantly putting up steel barriers around their own heart. So again, this is a teaching model. There could be a big chunks and holes in this model that are incorrect, but the model states, I never touch your space whatsoever, and yet somehow you can feel love.
And that love is that the word acceptance comes up. When you're not judging or resisting me, I feel acceptance. I don't have to perform, I don't have to show up in any way to earn your approval, because that's how you're approaching me in the first place, that I'm whole, that I'm perfect in your eyes, in a way that you don't even care, although not in a bad way, that you're fine with whoever I am.
That's exactly right. And the more that I'm fine with who I am is the trick. Because when I get my own crap under control is when I can start not resisting somebody else without even thinking the word crap. So you are perfect as you are. That's the fundamental reality.
So we know each other outside of this discussion. You're striving for this braid to be strong. Yet, as we well know, there are times when I show up being my very impulsive, spontaneous self, and you have a reaction to that. So you're practicing.
This is, the way of the yearning heart is a practice.
Ah, thank you. So say something about how you practice, because I have to tell you that over the years, the way that we go through those moments, there used to be a time where it was difficult, and now we actually look at each other and smile and sometimes burst into laughter, because we're seeing each of these opportunities as an opportunity to wake up, be present, and catch ourselves in a moment of resistance or judging. How do you practice?
Well, the honesty, integrity part are interior practices. The patience and peace part is exterior. The shamanic practice called eating, which is funny because people sometimes teach it as part of a weight loss program. But the shamanic, and I'm getting a look across the microphone here that's like, what are you talking about?
That's what I was thinking, too,
but
by the way.
The shamanic practice of eating is, for example, let's say I'm in the presence of my father, and he's really dressing me down verbally. Let's say I'm 16 years old, and I've just done something wrong, and he's telling me what a schmuck I am. And I'm sitting in the chair feeling anger, resentment, and those are two major things, plus hurt. The shaman practicing eating will take those feelings and refuse to tell any stories about them and refuse to move in the chair whatsoever. No movement. No changing of movement. If I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden something happens, I'll continue walking. I won't stop and turn around. If I'm sitting silently in a chair, I stay silent in a chair, and I refuse to tell stories about the feelings. And I just feel them. And I refuse to tell stories in my mind about the person telling me the things that I associate with those feelings. Take all the stories away. If I can do that, I'm eating the feeling. I'm actually taking evil, quote-unquote, from a shamanic tradition and turning it into nothing. And that's the art of the shaman eating evil, either my own evil or someone else's. It's an art, and I can't go over it. I mean, in this interview, we could just scratch the surface on what it's like to learn how to eat in the shamanic way.
Well, we will come back and continue this discussion. It's a fascinating concept, and I'd like to talk about it more. Right now, I'd like to thank you, Speed, for being on the show with me today. We're talking about the path of the yearning heart, the way of the yearning heart. I'm Bonnie Dubrow, your host for Strategies for Success, the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. When we get back, we'll continue our discussion about how to use these ancient practices to increase the joy and the power of our earth walk, our life on this planet. You're listening to RadioForWomen.us. That's www.radioforwomen.us.